Darn it, I forgot to start the recording. Now I've started it. was anyone recording on their own computer? If so, contact me afterwards. So the first, whatever that was just now, the first 45 minutes, I guess. Gosh, time flies. Was not recorded, and maybe someone recorded it. But anyway, my recording will cover the consonants, which is important. Perhaps the secret bijas were not meant to be transmitted. See, somebody asked, can we have the bijas? And I'm like, oh, they're supposed to be secret, but so yeah, they're not on the recording. But if somebody did record it, we can send that out too. Okay, Manoj asks, did the Vedas have the concept of samsara? Notice that pure nasal, by the way. M with a dot in samsara, it's M with a dot before S, so it's pure nasal, samsara. It's not samsara. It's not even samsara. It's samsara in Pakka Sanskrit, which is Sanskrit, actually. Same thing in Sanskrit. It's the pure nasal. Did they have the concept of samsara? Yes, not in the very earliest period, but it came around fairly early on. So he asks, could free us from death mean free us from samsara, from the cycle of death and birth? Yeah, absolutely could mean that. Okay. So chant it one more time for the recording. Om Triambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Urvarukam Ivabandhanam Mrityor Mukshiyam Amritat. Or Om Triambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Urvarukam Ivabandhanam Mrityor Mukshiyam Amritat. Right, that's more Vedic style, and that's how you would do it if you were doing japa. Right, because reciting it 108 times or whatever, that's, you're gonna need a faster version. Mrityunjaya, it's okay. So mrityu, death, with an accusative case ending, meaning direct object case adds an M, so mrityum, and that M, which is actually an anuswara, converts to an N to match the following J. You'll understand that later. So mrityum plus jaya equals mrityunjaya. Yes. Okay, moving on to the consonants. Okay, so here's the thing. Somehow, on that learnsanskrit.org site, somehow he neglects to, in the consonant grid, he neglects to do sort of the most important thing, which is identify the rows and columns in the consonant grid, like what they actually are. So let's go to the consonant grid. Where is it? It's in the review. I think it's in review. I'm going to paste this in your window. No. I know I saw it. Here we go. It is the review section of lesson 1.2. There it is in your window. So click on that and scroll to the bottom. Well, okay, not the bottom. No, don't scroll the bottom. In the middle, there's a table with colored letters. So find in that page I just pasted, the review page for sounds, find the table with colored letters. So, like I said, he's neglected to do sort of the most important thing. He's labeled the columns here, but not the rows. God only knows why, because it's super important. So notice that we have here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rows. Okay, so these five rows are the five main areas of articulation in the mouth. So he went over those on another page. Let me pull that one up. Yeah, five points of articulation, and he uses a color code, right? So, no, oops, I just pasted the same one. Let me get the right. There we go. So the one I just pasted has, hopefully you already know it, the five points of articulation mapped. There's a diagram of the vocal tract, and they are color-coded with that table that you have there, okay? So what he's calling the soft palate is actually not the soft palate. It's actually the velum, V-E-L-U-M. It's the back of the throat. Then the hard palate, the roof of the mouth, the teeth, and the lips. Those are the five areas of articulation. So compare that diagram. Now go to back to the first page I pasted, the sounds/review, and you see in that chart of all the letters how they're color-coded, okay? So the first first row. Maybe that's why he didn't label them, because he's already introduced this color scheme. So the first row is dark red, and that is velar sounds, meaning they come from the back of the throat. And for consonants, it means that the stopping of the flow of air, every consonant has an instantaneous stopping of the flow of air. So the stopping of the flow of air is at the back of the throat, okay? And so we can feel that. You can feel it if you just say K and G. Well, no, don't say G. That's the English name of the letter. It's G, right? So say K and G. K and G. Notice how the stopping of the flow of air that's very, very, very brief, right? It's in the back of the throat. K and G. So feel that for yourself. Now, this is, so everything in that row comes from that point of articulation. Na, that N with the dot over it, that is the nasal that you hear in the word sing, English word sing, that's in the back of the throat. Now feel how sing and ga are in the same point of articulation in the velum in the back of the throat. Sing, ga, ka. It's also the point for the N in ink or inga, right? That's a totally different N. See, English uses three different N sounds, but doesn't mark them as different, okay? But they're actually three totally different N's because they're in different points of articulation. So feel in your own mouth the difference between ink and India and inch. Let's do them in the Sanskrit order. Ink, but English words. Ink, inch, India. Notice though, this is the N in ink, the N in inch, and the N in India are three different N's, okay? They're, they are the velar N, the palatal N, and the alveolar end. That's where the tongue hits the fleshy ridge just above the teeth, which is not used in Sanskrit, but it is all very frequently in English. Okay, so that's the velar row, right? It's, and then we've got the palatal row, and that's orange color, and the vowels are I, E, A, I, and the semi-vowel is ya. And notice they're all in the same place of articulation. You don't have to move your tongue around to say all these different sounds. I, E, A, I, ya. Well, you move your tongue a little bit for the diphthongs, but they're all in the same place of articulation. And then they get the N with the tilde over it. That's the same N as in inch or canyon. Okay. And then we get the consonants J, J, Ch, Ch. Those are all in the same place of articulation. Just I want you to feel that in your mouth. Feel that Ch, Ch, J, J, Nya. That's the N. They're all in the same place of articulation as with EE as well. Okay, then the third row is the retroflex row. Retroflex means the tip of the tongue goes on the roof of the mouth, okay? English speakers initially have a hard time with this because English doesn't use the retroflex position, and nor do most European languages, right? So you might look at your screen, you know, look at my face. Tip of the tongue on the roof of the mouth looks like this, to be graphic. You know, so if you put your tip of the tongue on the roof of your mouth, you automatically have a quasi-Indian accent. Here I am putting the tip of the tongue on the roof of the mouth, you know, and it sounds Indian because Indian languages have so many retroflex sounds that Indian language speakers hear English consonants as retroflex. So they're linguistically in their brain, what, you know, they hear English consonants and they hear them as closer to retroflex than anything else. So that's why, you know, like the Hindi word for ticket, as in train ticket, is ticket. Ticket. That is the Hindi word is a loan word from English. So they don't have any other word for ticket, right? Because the British introduced trains. So ticket. That's retroflex because, again, the Indian ear hears our consonants as closer to retroflex than anything else. But it is a different sound. It's on the roof of the mouth, tip of the tongue on the roof of the mouth. For consonants, we're talking about consonants. There's no touching in vowels. That's the difference between a vowel and a consonant. I should have said that right up front. Vowels, there's no touching. The air just flows through. You shape the mouth, but you don't touch the tongue to anything. Whereas in consonants, there's touching of the tongue, whether it's the back of the tongue or the sides of the tongue or the tip of the tongue. Consonants involve touching. So, na, da, da, ta, ta. I'm just looking at the consonants there, the retroflex consonants. Whereas the vowels, the tongue is in a retroflex position, but not touching. Okay. So then that's the difference. Then if you look to the far right in the table between the two S sounds, you get sha and you get sha. So the tongue is in a retroflex position for the second sha. This distinction is not observed in Indian languages anymore, but technically it's sha and sha. Very slight difference. Then we have the dental row. The green row is the dental row. Tip of the tongue on the teeth, touching enamel. It's got to be touching enamel or it won't sound right. So if you watch my mouth, na, da, 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 ta. So you can see that I'm really touching the teeth. So in Sanskrit, we never use that fleshy ridge above the teeth. If you say English T and D, just say T and D, T and D, you feel your tongue on the fleshy ridge called the alveolar ridge. Sanskrit doesn't use that. You're going to always be on your teeth or on the tip of your, on the roof of your mouth for T's and D's. So it's either ta and da or ta and da. If you watch my mouth again, ta and da, ta and da. You see? So to an Indian ear, those sound very different. To your ear, maybe not as much, but audible still. Ta and da, ta and da. Okay, and then the last blue row is, of course, the labial row, meaning it's lips. You articulate the sounds with your lips. You stop the flow of air momentarily with your lips, as in ma, ba, pa, pa, pa. And the vowels also use the lips, even though there's no stopping of the flow of air. Vowels, by definition, there's no stopping. And with S sounds, there's no stopping of the flow of air. There is constriction of the flow, of a strong constriction, but not actual stopping. Shh, shh, s. You see, the air keeps going, but it's highly constricted. Whereas with a full-on consonant, it stops momentarily. Unlike with a so-called semi-vowel, so named because it doesn't entirely stop the flow of air, right? Or a sibilant, that's the S sounds. Okay, my computer is about to run out of battery, and that's okay because I actually have to go. Okay, so that's the consonants. Let's, the orange row, what was the orange row? That